Wow, we should just sing another round of that, huh? Thank you, Davis. Thank you for being here. John and Karen Bowers, I just want to introduce them to you because they are no longer visitors. They are now members, so we are thrilled. John and Karen Bowers and Ethan Camden and Brianna Bowers. Where did John and Karen go? I saw them earlier. There they are right in the back. That's John. He's the guy. That's Karen. That's his wife right next to him. So we are thrilled y'all are here. Also, oh man, I knew it. Jonathan Goodrum. All right. If you see Jonathan right back, he's the one that Bethany has been just hanging all over for all, 6 months now. How long? No, 8 months. 8 months. Congratulations. All right. We are thrilled Jonathan is with us. And I am thrilled that our sixth graders are here. I did ask them to sit up close to the front, right on the front. I did not ask them to sit girls on one side, guys on the other, all right? And knowing that they are about to enter the youth group and they will enter their teen years, I'm sure this will change very soon, right? But that is okay. That is funny. Is that not funny? A question was asked to me a couple of weeks ago. If I had one lesson to teach a bunch of sixth graders about to transition into the youth group, what would I say to them? Well, what you're about to hear is it. But I will tell all of us, this is not a lesson just for a bunch of sixth graders about to enter the youth group. This is certainly a lesson for each one of us. And really, it has everything to do with this. You can't see it, so I took some pictures and put it up on the screen. Eric Boggs, I don't see Eric tonight, but Eric Boggs put me onto this Armor Challenge chip. And I thought, this is perfect for tonight's lesson. So what I did is I got an Armor Challenge chip for each one of our sixth graders. I would have got one for every single person in this audience, but they were expensive, so you're just going to have to be satisfied with the picture. But I'm going to ask Jacob, if you will come up here, make sure that every single sixth grader gets one. Okay? It's okay. We won't bite you. All right, I'm kidding. All right, no, I'm kidding. You can just take one and pass it on, all right, and make sure that everybody gets one, all right, not more than one. You've got to teach them about thieves later, all right? Armor Challenge chip, that's what it is. So what are these Armor Challenge chips about? What is the armor of God about? This is the thing. With armor, you can either put armor on, right? Or armor can be stripped off. And that is intentional. It is an intentional choice. One of the greatest examples in all the Bible of one who lived an intentional life was the Apostle Paul. Who Paul was obvious, right? Who Paul served was obvious. Who Paul followed was obvious. What Paul believed was obvious. And how he chose to live from the moment that he was blinded on that Damascus road by the light was an intentional life. And that life for him was obvious. This is what being intentional means. Can y'all read that back there? Being intentional means this: to have a goal in mind and you filter everything that you say, do, and think through this filter. You understand that? That is being intentional. And not only that, but then you begin to ask this question: is this next decision that I make going to help me or hurt me from achieving my eternal goal. All right? That is being intentional. God desires each one of us to experience the fullness of Him. There is no question about it. He says, in order to do that, what we have to do, sixth graders, what we have to do, the rest of our family here, we've got to get out and make disciples. Start up a conversation about Him with a stranger. That's why we go feed the homeless. Start up a conversation about Him with a friend, with a coworker, with a boss. Put on the full armor of God. That's your challenge. It starts now, and it doesn't ever stop, does it? I dare us to discover what going and making disciples is all about. In order to make disciples, what we've got to understand are what the words of this armor challenge chip are all about. And this is it. Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 6. And first of all, before we get going any further, I want to do a Bible check. If you have your Bibles, would you please raise them up in the air? Remember, what we are doing, we are letting Satan know how serious we are. All right? So now that you have your armor in hand, all right, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we are going to camp out there for just a minute. Or as Davis told me, is this going to be longer than an hour? That boy, what are we going to do with him? All right, Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is what is interesting to me. As you look through the armor, do you see anything for the back? Do you realize that with armor, there is nothing for the back? If we turn our back on the enemy, we lie exposed. God's plan for us is to attack with an all-out focused intent. Understand? Do we understand that? Yes, no, maybe. First, he starts out with the belt of truth. Sixth graders, this belt of truth, truth will be your strength. In Paul's day, the belt was thick leather, and it had metal straps hanging down protecting the reproductive organs. And Paul encouraged us to fasten the belt of truth around our waist. This truth is foundational. Because you know who's on the other side of this? Satan. And he is notorious for using well thought out deceptions to make us feel disqualified for kingdom work. Scott, what do you mean by that? Well, his lies and his accusations attempt to sterilize us. And we begin crying out, I can't do this. I'm not good enough for that. I'm not the one you want. And that's not God talking to us, that's Satan. And God is saying, buckle up. Put that belt of truth around you, because what Satan is feeding you is not truth. It's a lie. God's saying, what I'm telling you is you got some big things going, and I got big plans for you, Easton Steve. All right? So get that truth around your waist, and we're going somewhere. All right, Ashley? He also brings up second thing in this armor is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate, what does it protect? Protects your vital organs. All right, what is behind here? It's your heart. In Scripture, it is rare that the heart refers to this blood-pumping organ that we know it as today. In Scripture, what the heart refers to is the core being of the person. The core being. It's where our thoughts and our emotions reside. And Satan attempts to assault us at our core. And he starts whispering. And his accusations, Satan is also very intentional with his purpose and his main goal. Because his main goal is to corrupt every single one of us. His main goal is to steal our identity and hinder our relationship with Jesus. The third item in this armor chip has to do with your shoes. What kind of shoes are we to wear? All right, the shoes of the gospel of peace. In other words, put on your combat boots. Right, think about the sandals in those days. They had a strap around the ankle, all right, which was very important. Because you think about going out into the battlefield. You think about just going outside, walking around your own property. What happens when you go outside barefooted? What are the risks involved? All right, when I go outside barefooted, I have very candy feet. All right, I step on one little acorn or one little sweet gum ball, and I'm out for the rest of the day, right? Okay, but this is the thing. With the sandals, you're protecting yourself from stepping on something that's going to hurt you, right? But also, you're protecting yourself from getting stepped on. You understand that? These sandals, back in the day here, this armor, all right, the soles of them were like cleats, okay? So what that would do is it would provide stability when you're in unstable soil, all right? So this is the gospel of peace, and that's what he's talking about. When you start trudging into uncharted territory, all right, know that what you are about and what God wants you to be, he wants you your footing to be stable. Okay, when you think, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do, God's saying, I'm giving you some stability. That's all you need. All right? I love what Romans 12 says. Romans 12, verse 18. I don't have it up here, so just listen. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Did y'all hear that? Romans 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Huge responsibility. Huge. Shoes, the gospel of peace. The next item on the armor list is the shield of faith. What's awesome about this shield, guys, you can turn the shield in any direction. But it isn't any shield. This is the shield of faith. All right? That's the shield of trust. Faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you are given every bit of your trust to God. All right? So when the flaming arrows of Satan come attacking, all right, and he's rearing back, ready to shoot you, all right, you're able to protect. Is that not awesome? It's all part of the armor, every bit of it. What's next? The helmet of salvation. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What Satan wants to do more than anything is get inside your head and start controlling your thoughts, start controlling your mind. What Satan wants to do is decapitate us, Take it off. What does the helmet protect? You think, I mean, you look up there. What part of his head do you see? First of all, what the helmet protects, Blakely, is your brain. All right, do you know what the brain is? The brain helps you to think. The brain helps you to live. All right, when that brain is damaged, you can't do much in life. You just lay there and you just, that's it. Right? That's right. The other thing the helmet of salvation protects are your eyes. What are eyes for? To see. It is that obvious. Right? Listen to what Matthew says about the eyes and seeing. In Matthew 11, verses 2 through 5, when John, who was in prison, this is John the Baptist, when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Listen to Jesus' response in Matthew 11, verses 2 through 5. In verse 4, Jesus says, "I want you to go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Helmet protects the eyes. The helmet also protects, what are these things? I'm just going to point and you tell me what they are. I don't see how smart our sixth graders are. What are these? Ears, good. I'm so glad we aren't bringing anybody that's, I can't say that word, right? Okay. Your ears. Ears are for hearing. Is that not obvious? I know Dimitri was out of town. I didn't know if he got back in. I love what Dimitri Sims says about ears. There's a reason why God gave us one mouth and two ears. We better listen twice as hard, right? The helmet protects the ears. The helmet also protects the mouth. It's hard to declare that Jesus is Lord if you don't have a mouth. Right? And in Matthew 12:34, God says, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." The other thing, the last part of the, well, not the last, but next to the last, of this armor. Y'all got your armor, Chip? I'm going to ask you, challenge Chip, all right, in any time, from here to for 6 years. Challenge Chip, y'all better hold it up. If you don't, all the teens just dogpile you, all right? Okay. So it's a challenge, armor challenge Chip. All right. Protects your nose. What is your nose used for? Smelling. That's obvious, right, Lauren? God wants us to be a pleasant aroma. A pleasant aroma. He also knows how important it is for us to be able to smell the aroma of someone else. He also wants us to be able to smell the putridness of Satan, because guys, Satan stinks. And don't ever forget it. And don't ever let him start fooling you to make you think that what he's trying to trick you into thinking is a sweet smell or a sweet aroma. Remember, you're anchored to God. Everything, every decision for you to be intentional, every decision from this point forward, you are bringing to God and saying, "God, is this true?" All right? Let me give you an example of smell. All right? Last year we went to Montana on a mission trip, hung out on an Indian reservation, but we stayed one night with two of our former members, Scott and Christina Smith. And the image on the top left, that is their backyard. That's what they wake up to every morning. I have some great sunset pictures. I just didn't put them in because I want you to understand what we're dealing with. When we talk about smell, all right, we look out and he has all this land. He has some cows. He has some horses. He has some goats. And there's this one lone llama. And I pull Scott aside. Scott, tell me, what is the story with this llama? Now, right off the bat, 2 seconds after they see the llama, our teens have already named the llama Tina from the movie Napoleon Dynamite. All right. So now we are all looking at Tina, the llama. I don't even know if Tina was a boy or a girl llama, but it doesn't matter. But Scott said, well, when we were looking at this house, we noticed, you know, the land, and we noticed the cattle, and then we also noticed this llama. And the homeowner said, well, we're going to take all the cattle with us, but most likely the llama comes with the house. And Scott said, why does the llama come with the house? Well, nobody's been able to touch the llama for 14 years, okay? And Scott's like, well, why not, can't you tranquilize it, you know, something, and take it with you? And they said, we've tried. We keep missing. It's a smart llama, all right? Okay, 14 years. So what that triggers in the goon squad, all right, that now there are four guys known as the goon squad, and the Marshall Dyer is one, Jared Cleghorn, all right, Ben Crowley, and Colin Rose. There's Colin. Yeah. Colin knows where we're going. All right. So they get it in their head. Well, 14 years, they haven't met us yet. So they hop the three-rail fence, and, you know, they kind of go in pairs, and they're crouched down. The grass is just that they're crouched down, and they're getting closer and closer and closer to Tina. Now, Tina's just hanging out eating grass, minding her own business. But every now and then, what you see Tina do, she will just look up and do this. Look up and do that. She knows exactly where the enemy is. All right? Colin splits off, and he's probably 20 yards from Tina. And now, it's not just me. You see Dad Gene. All right, Dad Dyer was there too. All right, so all the dads are just watching the goon squad. All right, just don't let Tina kill you. All right, and next thing you know, Colin takes one more step towards Tina, and Tina rears up, looks at him, and charges straight at him. Have y'all ever seen a llama charge? All right. Next thing you know, the goon squad, they're splitting up. Colin's running for a slide. Okay. And Colin comes in, and all of them are hurdling this three-rail fence to get out of the way. Why? If Tina represented us, Tina knew exactly what that smell was, and that smell was the enemy. So Tina was saying, you know what? I'm not going to turn around and just sit here and be taken. I am going to give it everything I got. And you will not get me. That's why I've been alive for 14 years. Right? You understand? Man, I learned such a valuable lesson that day. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Goon Squad. The last on this armor. It's the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit. Sixth graders, family, it's this. Okay, that's your word. The sword, I'm just going to be straight up dead honest with you. This should never, ever, ever be something that I nor your parents should remind you to have ever. In your heart, in your class, in your hand, whenever we are getting ready to study. You understand? Say, yes, sir. Okay. I am dead serious about that. Why? Because I want us to be a people, a group of people that are absolutely 100% focused on whipping Satan's tail and us finding out exactly what God wants us to be and do. We'll get to the end of that text in just a minute. But when I think about this armor challenge chip, you know, we are always confronted with sin. And when we get entangled in sin, that cage becomes very obvious, doesn't it? What I don't ever want us to lose sight of is what Jesus did with that cage. He leaves home to come down because he loves you this much twice. And he just doesn't just look at any cage and say, hey, how you doing in there? He comes and rips the stinking bars of the cage off and allows you freedom and gives you purpose in life and helps us to understand what forgiveness is all about. And all he wants us to do is just reach out and take his hand and say, come closer. Let's walk together. Let's live together. You understand? Yeah. All right. How are we doing on time? I don't even have my watch. My watch broke. Y'all are just in trouble. All right. We all have a choice, don't we? We can either watch the leaders lead or we can say, here I am. Use me. Say that with me. We can watch the leaders lead or say, here am I. Use me. Because everyone here, no matter how old or young, we all have something radical to offer in the kingdom of God. Amen? You know what happens when you put on the full armor of God? I got a little object lesson. You ready, Bob Winter? Okay. I got one orange here. Y'all see this orange? I got one more orange here. All right, let's look at this orange real quick. All right, can y'all see what's going on with this orange? Do I need to pass it around for everybody? Can everybody see up top there? All right, one thing about this orange, the pill is on. The pill represents armor. Armor on. And do you know what happens when the armor is on, every bit of it? This thing has risen to the top, and it is thriving. It is love and life. It is living. You understand that? So what happens when the armor is stripped off? Scott, you manipulated that. No, not really. Well, how long did that take? Not very long. You see this orange? No armor. It sinks and it dies. It just drops right to the bottom. That is exactly what happens in our life without putting on the full armor of God. You understand that? Let that be a visual forever. Are y'all ready to get into something fun? I want to share a devo with y'all. It was a devo that I shared when Jackson, my older son, entered the youth group. And it was that whole class. And we met out at Stephen Lydia's house. It was a cold, cold November night. And we worshiped under the stars. And we had been studying a topic called refuge. And I thought, I have got to have this story of David and Goliath become real to each one of them. So what I did, this is, before we get into the actual devo, this is what's going on with David and Goliath, right? You got the Philistines occupying one hill, and you got the Israelites occupying the other hill, and the valley where the battle actually took place, that was in the middle, right? And this big old giant, Goliath from Gath, he comes out for days, and he is just taunting these Israelites. Who are y'all going to bring out here, right? Who's going to be a man? Who's going to take me on? Over and over and over again. And then David comes out. All right, so that's the setting. And this is what I decided to do. I decided I wanted to represent Goliath, me. So I got all this big, bad equipment on, right? I get this football helmet. I was just pulling out everything that would make me look big and mean and tough. Really, in my mind, I had envisioned this dude, okay? But you can see I was far from him, all right? Let's get rid of him, all right? But I, So I had these shoulder pads from when I played football in seventh grade. I put those things on, had my big old coat on, all right? And then I'm thinking, man, I remember, did you see that football player? You want me to bring him back? Look. You remember those big, bad-looking neck braces, all right, those neck pads? That's what I put a big old neck pad on as more armor. All right, it really wasn't a neck pad. What it was one of those travel pillows. And I look good. All right. Well, I really didn't. No, I did, but I didn't look good. I looked like an idiot. All right. But then what I did, I got this mattress egg foam crate, you know, the egg crate foam, and I wrapped my whole here, this breastplate, okay? Wrapping all this up. I got one of the teens. They helped duct tape it to keep it on. Remember this, Davis? I put it all over my legs, and we wrapped that thing up. I put on some gloves, and then I found some of Jackson and Tyler's old foam swords, and I come out, and I begin the taunting. All right, and I was just having the best time with this. And what I did, I allowed the incoming seventh graders, I had them line up about 10, 15 yards away. Steve and Lydia brought out a mattress to put behind me just in case something went bad. We might not die, just fall on the mattress. All right, my intention was not to hurt them, but you see, when I wrapped myself up, I just didn't want them to hurt me. You understand? All right, so I'm standing right there by the pad. And up walks Noah Brown first to the place. Where's Noah? Is Noah? All right, so Noah comes up. All right, and he plays football for Oak Mountain. I said, oh, big bad football player, Noah Brown. Yeah, what you got, boy? Come at me. All right, so Noah's 10, 15 yards. He runs at me full steam. Bam! All right, and he hits me hard. He hits me hard, but you got to realize he didn't hit me hard enough. All right, so I start laughing at him. Oh, yeah, huh? Get on back to the line. You just been denied, right? Y'all remember who's next, huh? Who's going to be a man? Who's going to step up? Who's going to take on Goliath? What we have to remember, they aren't running at me. They are running at their greatest temptations and their greatest struggles, and they are ready to take it out, right? Jackson, my own flesh and blood, he stands up there. Oh, little baby Jackson, huh? Come on, Jackson, what you got? Right? Come on. Take Goliath out. Right? And Jackson takes his shoes. He kicks his shoes off. What are you doing, Jackson? It's 10 degrees out here. Right? He helps me run faster. He's kicking his foot, and he runs at me full steam. All right? And hits me. I don't move. I said, what? Did a fly just land on me? I pop him with the sword. Get on back to the back of the line. Then Landon Hammett. Landon, oh, your brother, Davis. I don't know if you remember what your brother looked like in seventh grade. You see the goofy-looking guy in the orange little hoodie? He's got the Russian hat on, right? I'm telling you, it was cold that night. Not that cold, though. So Landon steps up. Oh, yeah, big bad Landon. I was probably more afraid of Landon because Landon had the most meat on his bones. All right, and Landon, he's with the Russian hat, and he's running at me full steam. Landon tries a different approach. Landon says, I'm going to go out in an all-horizontal dive, and I am taking Goliath out. All right? So here he is, and I see him get airborne. He's coming at me. What Landon didn't know is I am trained in the martial arts. Okay? He didn't know this, did he, Davis? All right, so what I did, I just stepped to the side, allowed that forceful energy to pass, and I popped him with the sword. I felt real bad. He was supposed to go on the mattress. He missed the mattress. Slides across the damp grass. Smashes into the chairs. All right. I felt really bad about that. I still do, but not bad enough. Right. They just kept coming. Just one at a time. But you know what I was listening for that I had not heard up to this point? It was this. Remember what David said before he went out to take Goliath on? You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Remember the armor challenge, Chip. As people say, well, David didn't wear armor. Oh, this was all the armor he needed. This was all that armor encompassed in one, right? So I reminded all the teens, and especially all these seventh graders, all right, that's what you're missing. What you're missing, you got to realize where true victory comes from. From God. Now, who wants to go again? Who really wants to come after and take Goliath out this time? Me, everybody, right? Did you see this? Oh, this is the final, all right? But I'm not going to show you that yet. Let me just, this is it. So all I'm lining up, even the girls are saying, okay, I want a piece of Goliath now. And I wouldn't let them come. I said, not one at a time this time. I want all of you coming at me at once. And I look up at Whitney and she's like, what are you doing? They're going to kill you. All right. But I see my own flesh and blood. And I see a bunch of incoming sixth graders ready to take on, not me, but their greatest temptation and their greatest struggle. All right? And what thrilled my heart was to hear them yell in unison, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, I'll come to you in the name of the Lord. Even sweet Sailor Lambert, Sailor, would you just, right? Sailor wouldn't even raise her hand. All right, Sailor comes at me like a crazed maniac. All right, and this is what happened. This was it. All right, they all pile on top of me, and I'm just laying there. Actually, I thought I was dead for a minute, or at least blind, but then I realized I'm not blind. My helmet had just twisted around my head. I couldn't see. Okay. So thankfully, Jackson came and tried to help me up. But before he did that, he did what David did to Goliath. You remember? He rips the sword out of Goliath's sheath and he takes him out. Right? He wants to make sure this Goliath is dead. All right? Guys, if I had one lesson to teach you, that's it. That's it. You give it everything you got and you don't stop. But adults, this is tough because I realize that Devo is a lot like this. Okay? It is. It's a lot. This is what I call my hat of temptations. And you say, well, it's dangling. It's all around. You're right. It is all around. And it is very distracting. Is it not? Is it not? And some of them, it's so weighted to one side, you can't even keep it on straight. Right? God represents our biggest temptations. Adults, this is the thing. It's not just teen temptations, is it? We struggle with the same things. The only thing is, as adults, a lot of times we're just better at hiding it. Like pornography. Okay? Pornography. We have a common phrase in our household, bounce your eyes. Bounce your eyes. But I can't, Dad. It's everywhere I turn. I know, son, but what you have to realize is what's on the other side of this, all right? What is on the other side is the fact that heaven awaits. Say that with me. Heaven awaits. All right, well, what's next on the list? Oh, booze. Yeah, I know. It's everywhere, and the struggle and the temptation is real. If I was to ask how many of y'all are sinners, every hand would go up. How many of y'all are alcoholics and really struggling with this? All right, I don't know why it is. Because we are amongst family that we can help. Booze, bounce your thoughts. Bounce your decisions. What are we going after? Something that's temporary or something that's eternal? Because heaven awaits. Good. I've been so sick of that. People say, where'd you get that thing? Did you drink it? No, I didn't drink it. I found it in CVS parking lot. And I said, that would make a good object lesson. All right? So, what's next? Materialism. We got all kinds of, we got a little Hummer here. We got a little bling bling jewelry, right? Materialism. What do we do? What do we do with materialism? You bounce your decisions. We got to decide what's more important. We got to decide, is this temporary or is this eternal? Because you know what? Heaven awaits. Amen. Money. Is this the money? No. Where'd my money go? Oh, here's my money. Yeah. What do you love? What do you love more? Who do you love more? What is it? Guys, heaven awaits. What are we investing our life in? Say it with me. Heaven awaits. Distractions. Where are my distractions? Oh, this is the phone, right? Distractions. A lot of things come with the responsibility of this thing. Sixth graders, you know it. You already know it, don't you? Okay? What this is, this can be something so valuable and so helpful on your walk with God, or this thing right here will take you down on your walk with God. And you know it, right? You are already starting to see separation with your friends. Every time you pick this thing up, know that heaven awaits. You understand? Heaven awaits. So what do we do with all this stuff? How do I do it? I mean, that's the question, right? How do I do it? Can I take this off for a minute? Is that okay? I just take it off. When we can get to the point of asking that question, how do I do it? How do I get rid of this? I just get so excited because I know now we are getting somewhere. Sixth graders, I want you to look back here in this section. Youth group, would y'all just smile and wave? Just smile and wave, okay? You even have some up here. You see sixth graders up there? All right. And sixth graders, I also want you to know that this group over here, they are really, honestly looking forward to you being a part of their family and having you being active participants to help fight with them the lies of Satan and help standing with God. I guarantee you that, okay? But I also want you to look back here at this section. Everybody in this set, just wave it. Smile and wave at these sixth graders. And those who don't want to, y'all just go on outside, all right? Okay, hey, sixth graders, I want you to, because they're all here as your family. Y'all just wave, all right? Okay, hey, over at this section here, hey, look at them up there. Hey, Paul Dyer, you on what? Look, Paul, you see him? Hey, everybody up here too. I love it. You will not succeed in this fight alone. That is guaranteed. And I will guarantee you another thing. I will do everything it takes personally to make sure and to do everything possible to help walk with you through these next 6 years and many, many more. All right? I'm going to do something a little risky, because I want these sixth graders to know without a doubt that they are in this fight together. I am going to ask everybody in this audience, if you will commit to prayer for each one of these kids, if you will, I'm going to ask you to stand now. If you will commit to praying for these kids. Now turn around. You know what this is to me? This is family unleashing the power of God on Satan's tail. All right? Thank you. Thank you. How do you do it? One of my favorite verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. There's one last thing. All this is the thing, it's still so close to me, right? And it's hard to let it go, especially when all we do is just kind of stop it from dangling and then we just set it on our nightstand. Okay? Do you know what this is? Do you know what's behind here? This is where you die. Okay? That's where you just let it go. I cleaned this out. It isn't going to make anything, but this is where you come in contact with the blood of Christ. And you just let it go. You understand? Let's make it real. Phone. Real phone. Real phone. Okay? Do you ever just get tired of the temptations here? Do you? It doesn't even have an OtterBox. You can put it in rice. No. Not if I just leave it and let it be. I died to sin. I died to my old way of living. I died with Christ. Okay? I'm a new creature. Nothing is going to make me want to resurrect this rotten eye again. But I don't do that alone. This is a team effort. And you just had probably 400 people commit to unleashing God against Satan. With you and God, you are always in the majority. Amen. I told you we'd get to the end. This is the end. The end of that text on the armor of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Fearless. How do you do it? Only through one way, with God. Sixth graders, it's time to armor up. Okay? Sixth graders, right now, what I'm going to ask you to do, I want y'all to stand, and I want you to just go sit with your new family. Okay? Y'all go ahead. It's okay. It's okay. Y'all, they aren't going to bite, and your new family is going to make room for you. All right? Fearless, pray that I may declare his promises fearlessly, as I should. Every item on that armor challenge chip has one thing in common, and that is God. Use it, wear it, be confident in its ability. If we can help anybody here in any way, if you're ready to give him your life in baptism, great night to do that. All right? If we can help you in any way, come now while together we stand and sing.